those lovely notes from Giuseppe Verdi means it's time for another edition of Serie A Sit Down, World Football Index's podcast designed by fans for fans of calcio at the highest level. I'm Frank Crivello, and I'm so glad you've clicked on and gotten stuck in with us. Plenty to discuss, as always, in the world of Italian football. The Turin derby was front and center among the activity at the weekend. Sampdoria looked to extend their unbeaten run against Lazio, and we'll also have a preview of Roma v Milan kicking off on Monday. Speaking of Milan, another delay in the Sino-Europe takeover. Even the most hopeful Rossoneri supporter has to have doubts about this deal. And finally, we'll add something a little interesting for you as we get to Christmas. We have a wish for each team in Serie A. Basically, we're seeing it through the eyes of the fan of that team and saying, I wish we have this for 2017. Do stick around for that. It is going to be pretty fun to listen to. Today, I have two other Calcio consultants joining me. First, we have a much, much happier Napoli supporter than maybe when you found him a couple of weeks ago, Brian Berti. Ciao, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing just great, thanks. Doing just great. And finally, just someone that's always happy regardless, Richard Carmen. Ciao, Richard. How are you?
Ciao, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So, guys, let's just get right into it. We'll jump into the Derby della Mole, where we're like the Derby della Madonnina and Derby della Capitale. This was one of the more anticipated in recent years. An emerging Torino side hoping to prove they belong at the big boy table as they took on their more decorated Turin rivals. Juventus, having secured a group win in the Champions League, were looking to get back to the business of owning Serie A as they have over the last few seasons. It was Intoro who opened the scoring through a headed finish by Andrea Belotti, 100 million euros if you want him, rest of Europe, on 16 minutes. That lead lasted only 12 minutes when Gonzalo Higuain slotted past Joe Hart to level the match. Both teams had their chances, but the deadlock wouldn't break until Higuain brought down a long ball, turned and finished clinically to put the champions ahead 2-1, and the old lady would finish this match off in stoppage time through Miralem Pjanic after a wonderful piece of individual work by Paulo Dybala in his return to action. So let's break this game down, and I'm going to start with Brian. Last week when we previewed this, you rave about this derby. You say it's one of your favorites to watch. Maybe the result doesn't really tell the whole story. It was an entertaining match. And just start off by giving your thoughts on Torino's performance in this. Certainly not happy to come away with no points, but a performance that might suggest that they're inching themselves there a little bit.
To be honest, I actually expected Torino to fare a little better because I thought Juventus were much more in control than Torino. Now, that's not the fault Torino's efforts because they did have a few chances that they could have scored. And they did look like they were going to put quality away instead of just having the ball and not doing much with it. But I thought it was a deserved win for Juve, personally. The past Torino derbies, the one where Pirlo scored that last-minute goal, that was the one I remember the most, where Torino put a real effort with the Bruno Perez golazo. And it seems like the last-minute goal for the last-minute goal curse for Torino continues because Pjanic scored again the last few minutes, or in the last minute, rather. It seems to happen to them all the time. Poor Torino, but, well, not much you can really do, I guess. It was different this time because this time they were actually losing instead of drawing like they were in the past few derbies. It seems to be an ongoing trend for them. But, yeah, I expected a little more from Torino, but again, it might have been more of them just looking to put away their chances instead of just having the ball a lot, because I guess against Juve, you got to switch some things up because you're facing the best team in the league, the best team by a mile, and it's never going to be easy.
Too early to say if the defending has kind of gone bye-bye. They did lose prior to this away to Sampdoria. 2-0. So this is back-to-back defeats for Torino after they had gone on a pretty impressive run, here in Serie A. And one of the things that I wanted to touch on here was there's a little bit of a Juve effect going on here. You know, Atalanta just got done losing to Juve, and they have followed that up with defeat at home to Udinese. Milan even beating Juventus followed that up with a dud at Genoa. Napoli lost to Juventus. They followed that up with a draw in the Champions League and then a draw in league play and, kind of really struggling to find their footing. You know, in the case of Torino, I look at their fixture list coming up, and they're at your boys next week at Napoli. If there's any hangover here from this derby, they better get over it pretty quick, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be an easy match, but I personally think we'll win it. I'll save that for later in the pod when you ask me about the match itself. But I do think our form compared to Torino's form, like we're on fire at the moment. So they are a good team, so they could always surprise. But if you say we're at home, then we should win it. Another thing I wanted to say, I watched the match where Belotti finally scored.
Yay!
It's not only that. It's not only that, though. He scored and I was looking away. So,
well, there you go.
He loves to score when I'm not looking. Like it's hilarious. But at least he scored in a match that I had on. So that's it's a step up.
We're gonna get angry Torino fans telling you not to watch any games for the rest of the season.
I'll say this, and I went back and forth. Gavin Haverty from the La Liga podcast here on World Football Index. There's no doubt here Andrea Belotti's an excellent player, but we continue to hammer away at this. I still am asking the question if he's class or if this is just really, really good form. If I'm an owner of a team and have 100 million euros to dispose of, I better be getting class. So, you know, while I like the performances that Belotti's put in and like the goals that he scored, he's gone and scored two for Italy, albeit against Liechtenstein. I'm not there with him as a class striker yet. I can't justify, writing a check for 100 million euros to bring him to my team. And this is, I think, teams outside of Europe. This isn't teams in Italy that are stricken to that clause. Richard, let me bring you in briefly on that one. What do you think? Are we at the point where we need to talk class about Belotti yet?
I think it's still too early to tell. When you look on, the opposition side, I think Dybala is becoming class. And he's been doing it for a few seasons now. So it's something you can say, okay, well, this guy's class. Gonzalo Higuain, for example, he is definitely class. But Belotti, I still want to see it for another season or two. I want to see, consistency, not just like a one hit wonder. So I'm still going to wait before I can classify him as class, but I'm loving the form right now. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's no denying that he has been very, very responsible and has played a really big part in the run that Torino went on. I thought there were some pretty decent things from Iago Falque and the near goal from Ljajic in the second half that nearly put Torino up 2-1. Nice pass by Falque to pick him out.
Yeah.
The curling effort that just went wide. The pieces have been there. But then coming back to Belotti, like I said, I still think this is really good form. I don't want to say this is class and not someone I'm ready to dump 100 million on if I'm one of these, Premier League teams or La Liga teams that's just looking for a striker. So speaking of class, Richard, in a season here in Serie A where a lot of quality strikers are popping up, the standard showed up today. Gonzalo Higuain clearly man of the match and two goals reminding everyone he's still the man, when it comes to goal scorers in Serie A. He might not be at the top of the Capo Cannonieri chart, but now a goal midweek in the Champions League, a brace here in the Derby. Sometimes they say that first goal or that goal you haven't scored in a long time, it's miles and miles away. Once you do that, the rest of them are just a few houses down. Are we getting ready? Are we at the start of a big run from Mr. Higuain?
Yeah, I think so. I think, it's just whenever anyone joins a new team, you have to feel them out, learn your way, learn what you can do to fit into the team. He's finally in that comfort zone, he scored that goal midweek and that was the one that kind of like it's released the floodgates. Both goals today were magnificent. I mean, he showed his class in the first goal, this little flick over the goalie. And then that second one, just to bring the ball down on one touch, spin around and just nail it past Hart. By the way, on that first goal, did you see the pass of Mandzukic to him?
Yeah, the nice little flick off. That's brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
I did want to jump in and say something about Mandzukic. He's definitely not the goal scorer he was at his Bayern days, but there's one thing I have to give him credit for. It's his strength, because he seems to outstrength all his opponents.
Yeah.
That is very important for a target man. But he's lacking his goals. That's what he's missing right now.
Hey, but so. he does, you know, he holds the ball up much better than Higuain does. So in that sense, they're a good pair, but I still don't like them playing together. But hey, it's working right now, so.
Yeah. You know, to the point that we've kind of hammered away a few weeks ago when we had Adam Digby on, it's, you know, Allegri's doing it because he can get away with it. I don't think that even he prefers to play a system where he's got Higuain and Mandzukic playing together up front.
But Dybala's back, so that's going to be good for them.
That is going to switch it up. It's going to, you know, it's going to be very interesting how that all works out.
So this is going to be good because Dybala's back now. Higuain is starting to find his form. Champions League opponents, be wary of this Juventus team. They're starting to become dangerous now. They were good. They were playing, you know, weird football, but they kept getting results. Now their players are starting to play. They're starting to show up. All you need is those defenders to come
back. They're starting to gel.
They're gelling. Absolutely. Let's see who they get in the draw. Then we'll see. You know, hopefully it's not a super like a Real Madrid or something, because you'd like to see them, you know, progress.
Honestly, though, I'll save this for the Champions League part of this pod. But for me, Juve will beat anyone that they draw, except for maybe Real Madrid. But I'm convinced that if Juve get Bayern this year, then they'll win. And other possible opponents, they'll beat Leicester for sure. They'll beat Arsenal. They can beat Arsenal. Though Real Madrid, if Bayern's the second best team in there, then I think they'll be fine because they can't draw Barca, which the other team.
If they play Atletico, that'll be like two teams that are very similar to each other playing each other. That would be an interesting chess match, huh?
Possible opponents for Juventus in the draw, and those of you, by the time you get this recording, you'll probably know who they're playing already. Certainly, those of you that are going to be listening to us on allinsportstalk.com, you're going to know the draw by now. But as of this recording, you know, we don't know, but here would be Juventus's possible opponents that they could draw. They could draw Paris Saint-Germain, Benfica, Manchester City, Bayern Munich, Bayer Leverkusen, Real Madrid, and FC Porto. One of those seven.
I'm confused. They cannot draw Arsenal. I don't know why I was thinking.
Arsenal won the group.
They won the group. They can't. I don't know why I said Arsenal.
I thought Atleti, both of them won their group, so we were.
Yeah, we're confused. So.
Yeah,
I said, I think Juve could beat anyone right now, except for Real Madrid, who are on huge form. But I'm not too convinced Bayern this season, and they almost beat Bayern last season, which was a weaker Juve side, in my opinion. Well, weaker on paper, anyways, and a stronger Bayern side on the pitch. And I think if they get Bayern this year, they'll win, because to me, Juve are. Maybe their starting 11 isn't better, but overall they're a deeper team.
Don't sleep on an Ancelotti Champions League team. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
He's won how many Champions Leagues now? With how many teams? So he knows how to do it.
Yeah, there's no denying that, but I just think Juve has what it takes to beat all the other teams this season. The only teams that I'm convinced that are guaranteed. Or not guaranteed. What's the word I'm looking for? I was gonna say guaranteed to be firm favorites, but I think that's a bit harsh. I think just favorites is the term. I mean, I guess Bayern would be favorites too, but it wouldn't be my favorites. To put that in simple terms, if they were my only favorites to beat Juve would be Barcelona and Real Madrid, and they can't draw Barcelona, of course. So,
yeah, I guess to put it plainly, if you're a Juventus supporter. You're very happy if you draw Benfica, Porto, or Bayer Leverkusen. You're a little nervous if you're drawing Paris Saint-Germain, Manchester City, or Bayern Munich. And you're really going to be sweating it out if you draw Real Madrid.
Though those first three teams you mentioned, as you know, as much as you'd want them, they are all dangerous at home. So it'll be fun no matter who plays. I just can't wait.
Benfica beat Juventus a few years ago in the Europa League.
Benfica can beat anyone at home. Just saying that.
Yeah, they definitely just like and so can Porto. Yes, well, Porto exactly. have not been great this season.
Neither have Leverkusen, but both teams have quality, so it'll be fun. They do.
I mean, it's interesting. I think all, and that's another topic. All 16 teams left in this Champions League are quality. So
yeah,
sure. Let's come back to the derby a little bit, and let's just jump back into Torino. And Richard, let me ask you this. Okay, now lost at Sampdoria 2-0, lost at Juve 3-1, at Napoli next. Quality side that beat the teams that they're supposed to beat and underachieving against some of the better teams? Because I think when you look at Sampdoria, they've gone on a night. They you know, they lost to Lazio over the weekend, and we'll talk about that here shortly. But starting to concern you about Torino, that there's a little bit of a struggle here against teams that are maybe on their level or better?
Yeah, they need that Christmas break to come so they can regroup, because they're faltering right now, and they got a tough string of games, like you said, that they're not sure what to do with right now, you know. So they're ready for this Christmas break to get here, because, like you said, I don't like the outcome, which looks like it will happen, is because Napoli's in a fine form right now, and all signs point to a heavy defeat, you know. So I don't know what to think of them right now. I just hope that they can regroup and get back to their winning ways, because they're definitely teetering.
Absolutely. And let's finish. Let's put a bow on this derby by talking about just kind of now what this result did overall with respect to the table. I think we had a glimmer of hope here for a little while with teams starting to chase Juventus down as they had some injury issues in recent weeks, but after these last two results from the champions, winning 3-1 at Torino, beating Atalanta 3-1, table looks like this. Juventus 39, Roma and Milan 32 with a game in hand, playing each other tomorrow. Napoli 31, Lazio 31, Atalanta 28, Torino 25, Fiorentina 23, and then you've got Chievo, Sampdoria 22, Inter and Udinese at 21. I think we're back to talking about giving the Scudetto to Juventus at this point, and you've got a handful of teams fighting it out for second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and that's where the fun's really going to be.
Yeah, that's pretty much, it looks like it definitely, I mean, we all thought that in the beginning, and then we had, like you said, there was a glimmer of hope. Depending on what happens with Milan-Roma tomorrow, if it ends in a draw, I think that's done.
Yeah. Richard, I'm biting my tongue as I say this. I think Roma are going to win tomorrow.
I don't know what to think.
It scares me, but we will, we shall see.
I was going to say that Roma, like, they've, I said last weekend that maybe we should throw in the towel and admit that Roma's doing well this season, because I thought two seasons ago, well, I'll start with the 2013-14 season, which is Roma's true return to form, and I thought, like, after that 7-1 defeat versus Bayern, they haven't quite recovered. Is it safe to say that they have? Because I feel like this season they've beaten all the big, or they've beaten most of the strong teams. They beat Napoli away. They beat Lazio away. There's another. I think they beat Inter as well.
It's so early. They have time to collapse.
It's still early, of course. But I feel like they've shown more consistency this season than the last two seasons. And I personally think that I agree with both of you that I think Roma will win tomorrow, because it seems like they've done very well against these teams. As much as I like Milan to win, because I don't like Roma, but
Richard hasn't given his prediction yet. So.
Yeah, I think a draw, but I'm not confident. You know, it's not more. I'm not worried about Roma, their offense. I'm worried about. I'm not sure yet what Milan, you know, can bring on a game-to-game basis. You know, I'm not sure about the wingbacks yet. You know, the central defense, central midfield, I'm still iffy about. The attack, I'm happy with. You know, the either it's Bacca or Lapadula with Niang and Suso. I'm fine with those guys. But, you know, still that midfield and the defense, I'm still, you know, I'm unsure about. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully a draw at the worst.
Well, I mean, and we'll get into that preview. If there's a potential saving grace for Milan, is that Roma could, you know, following this match tomorrow, they go to Juventus. So boy, did somebody in the front office at Roma anger the Serie A scheduling gods to get that back-to-back fixture list? So crazy. I think this is a second through sixth. I will throw a little love Brian's way and say that, you know, Napoli are still a dangerous proposition in this. You know, they seem to have gotten things figured out without Arkadiusz Milik, and now they're going to get him back at some point in the second half of the season. You know, if they do any tweaking, if they get their defending in order, which it seems like they're starting to do, they could pile up some points and be very, very dangerous and make a run here. That said, right as of now, 8 points back, It's going to be a big mountain to climb, because Juventus don't drop a lot of points at home, and
And arguably that, the best home team in Europe.
Exactly. So it's going to be a real, real challenge for them to be able to do that. So they're the one team out of that pile of teams that I just named off that I think might be a threat. But boy, they've got a lot of work to do to get there. So speaking of all these other teams, let's just dive into some of the other results that happened at the weekend. There are actually two games on Monday. So 16 teams were in action at the weekend. We talked about the Turin Derby on Saturday. Crotone 2, Pescara 1. It was Palladino and Ferrari on target for the home side. And they pick up their second win of the season. Certainly a relegation six-pointer by every stretch of the imagination. Pescara slump certainly continues. The big game on Saturday, Sampdoria 1, Lazio 2, a match where Lazio coming off that, you know, loss, the defeat at home to Roma in the derby. Sampdoria had put together a six-match unbeaten run. Lazio getting two goals just before halftime through Milinkovic-Savic and Marco Parolo. And that ended Sampdoria's unbeaten run. Schick getting a late goal for the hosts. Cagliari 0, Napoli 5 in the early game on Sunday. The guy that shouldn't be a false nine, Dries Mertens, gets a hat trick to lead the Partenope. And they're starting to get on a real run. And as I said, they're looking sordid without Arkadiusz Milik. Atalanta 1, Udinese 3. We talked about that Juventus hangover. Atalanta suffered from it. Duvan Zapata opened for the visitors. Equalizer did come from Yasmin Kurtic. And then after that, it was Fofana and Thuro scoring to give Del Neri's men three big points. Atalanta now back-to-back defeats. Bologna 0, Empoli 0. Yeah, we didn't think you cared either, but we still have to report it. Seriously, did people pay to go to that game, Richard?
I heard it was a ticket giveaway.
They better have been. You know what you were going to get. Nobody's going to score.
Yep.
And they should have just, Donadona, and I can't remember Empoli's coach's name, but they should have gotten together and they should have said, you know something, let's not waste the fans' money. let's just call this nil-nil. We know what it's going to be. Let's not keep anybody in suspense. Man, the fact that I even have to read that on this podcast drives me nuts. And if there's anything worse, it's Palermo nil, Chievo 2. Did you guys see the second goal for Chievo?
God, that was terrible. Where was pretty the defense?
Much, yeah, saw it.
Pretty much sums up the Rosanero's misery and calamity at this point. There's no manager that can save this team at this point. They're just a hot mess, and I think that's their ninth consecutive defeat, losing at home to the Flying Donkeys. Is the Flying Donkeys starting to try to pick things up a little bit again with that win? And then the nightcap on Sunday, Inter 2, Genoa 0. A Brozovic double putting the Nerazzurri back on track. This is a player that looks to be inspired under new management. Thought he was a useful player at the Euros at the Euros for Croatia, and looks like he's kind of carrying that on and playing rather inspired here. He had a brace in the Europa League as well when he got a spot start there. So a player to keep an eye on, in that Inter setup. And then Genoa's away form just continues to be terrible. I exhausted quite a bit here, guys. Anything you want to say about these run of games?
So I'll start with Crotone and Pescara. I didn't see it, but Crotone, they can't be too bad if they're getting early goals. Like I said, I still think there's a fitness problem in there. But I don't know. I think this season should have an exception and have four teams going down, because honestly, if Empoli stay up, it'll be an absolute travesty. But it looks like they will, because Pescara is just not very good. And as for the other matches, I'll save the best for last, the Napoli game. Bologna 0, Empoli 0, shock horror. It ends 0-0 for Empoli. Who would have saw that coming? And I'll go with the Napoli game now. I had something on Saturday, and I stay up late. I stay up up to 12, and then I didn't have an alarm clock or anything. I just expected to wake up at 6, and I did. It's because I usually wake up at 6, so I woke up at 6, and I decided to get out of bed to watch the Napoli game. Totally worth my time, because, yeah, it was totally dominant. I still don't think it's the best performance of the season. I still think the Inter game takes that, but Dries Mertens might have scored the hat-trick, but to me, the man of the match was Hamsik, who was on fire. because he got a hat trick of assists. He got 3 assists and he got a goal. And like, what's even happened here? Like, did Vesuvius erupt because Napoli's on fire right now? And it's really pleasing me at the moment because we've decided to hit form at the right time. Because we beat Benfica, a match I didn't expect to win. I expected to go through with Kiev winning. I didn't think they'd win 6-0, but I thought they'd win in general. And we beat Benfica and we smashed Inter. Like, something's happened there. Hamsik decided to play some great football because I thought he's been playing all right early this season without reward. This season he's playing like the Napoli legend he's known for. He's only 10 goals for Maradona now. He's nowhere near Maradona's level, but he's definitely a legend to this club because he's been loyal for years. The fans love him. I love him, and he still has it. He still has it because he was crucial in the last 3 matches. And like, if you look at his off the ball movements, like that's something you see from mostly him on the team. The only thing I was disappointed about was Diawara not playing today. But Zielinski played, and I love Zielinski. Scored a great goal in the match.
Beautiful shot. Beautiful shot.
Yep, it was a beautiful shot. And, yeah, I'm a really big fan of the midfield, Diawara and Zielinski. Both are – Zielinski just he's a heck of a player. I really like him. And I would praise Diawara, but he didn't play here, so I'll leave him for another time.
Do you want to take a 5-minute break and go smoke a cigarette after that?
I was thinking the same thing, Frank.
You know what? I'm actually looking at the team sheet too. I'm stunned that Napoli got a clean sheet with Chiriches in the back. No, I mean, good on them. Cagliari, I'll take a little shine off of this. Cagliari's just leaking goals to everybody, but going to Benfica and winning, a game that, maybe looked a little bleak heading in. And then wiping out an Inter team that was starting to get a little bit of momentum and then, doing what you're supposed to do, beat Cagliari and beat them big. So, Napoli look on the way back now. You got a wounded Torino coming in and then finishing before Christmas at Fiorentina. So I think Napoli are on the way back. I don't think they're all the way back. These are two nice fixtures here that I think, like I said, Torino home, Fiorentina away before Christmas, that we'll know what we've got with the Parc des Nopes heading into the break.
The thing I hope for the most is that I want Napoli to reach the quarterfinals of the Champions League this year, because we're not going to win the league, so we might as well go as far as possible in the Champions League, and that's going to depend on who we draw. But it doesn't matter if we can draw the weakest team in that. If we're not in form, we're not going to win, because I was saying this to a friend the other day that Napoli can grind out results, but not quite to the extent of Juve. So if they're not on form, then they're going to drop points, and that's what I've noticed. And I'm hoping that come February and March, Napoli hit form, because if we didn't hit form, I'm convinced Benfica would have beat us. Luckily, we still would have gone through, though. So,
right. And Richard, probably the most important result for any team on this slate was Lazio going to win at Sampdoria 2-1 after losing the derby. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, they showed a little gumption there, getting back on the winning ways. That guy we talked about, Milinkovic-Savic, he's scoring again. Another goal, with back-to-back weeks now. Pirlo. That team is it's one to watch for, because I'm hopeful that they can keep this run up and give the, I guess, other than Juventus, but Roma, Napoli, Milan, give them a run for their money for the whole season, because it's fun right now. And it's good to see, Immobile and the guys, just giving everybody headaches. It's great to see.
Anything else from the slate that grabbed you?
Yeah, Crotone Pescara, while, Crotone is known for scoring goals early and then giving up late goals. Well, they gave up a goal in the, I think it was the 80th minute or 82nd minute. And then you're thinking, oh, here we go again. But they actually came back and scored right after that. So that's first for them. And look out now. They're only 30 points behind Juventus. They're at 9 points. They're almost at that 10-point mark we talked about.
They're on their way.
Yeah, yeah. So. Udinese-Atalanta. I mean, as a shock for Atalanta because they lost. Everyone's, they were on this great form, great European form, and then back-to-back losses now. But the two goals, the one by Zapata You know, most guys, when they fall down, they'd stay down. He got up, kept going, and scored that goal. Beautiful goal. And then Fofana's goal. Did you see that goal? Unbelievable kick.
Yep.
It shocks me that Duvan Zapata kept going, because usually he just takes a dive. He thinks he's swimming in a pool or something.
Maybe it's a Del Neri effect, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then the Inter-Genoa game. Well, first, you know, the Chievo-Palermo. I got to give up to Plessier. He got his 100th goal. It wasn't a great game to watch, but that was that goal where the defense wasn't there for Palermo. That was Plessier scoring the 100th goal. So kudos to him. And then the Inter-Genoa game, while the score looked 2-0, I thought Genoa dominated most of this matchup. It was just Brozovic capitalizing on, you know, his opportunities. But, you know, for Inter, you got Brozovic, who's in form now, and who's, you know, yeah, he's getting on, you know, where he should be, where everyone hopes he was going to be. Also, Ja Mario, he's starting to come down. So look out for everyone. Going to look out for Inter. They're starting to work under Pioli, which is good to see.
What do you think of the blurb? I think I saw a quote from Pioli that you know, there's questions again about Gabigol.
Yeah.
And you know, and Pioli says, I prefer Ja Mario because he defends. So.
Yeah, and he also said, when Gabigol is in better fitness than the rest of the players, then I'll let him play. But until then, he's not playing.
Yep. Gabigol, Gabriel Barbosa?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen him a few times for Brazil. I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah, but I think right now it's in a new league, new language. I think they're treating him with baby gloves, which they should. But hopefully this doesn't break his confidence. They need to keep that confidence, keep building him, keep, you know, learning, getting him to play better. So hopefully what Pioli's, his tactics are doing are going to benefit Gabigol and Inter in the long run. But, you know, it's going to be probably many weeks or many months before we figure out, you know, if what his plan is with him is going to work or not.
Yeah, there's this Pato effect, I think.
Yeah.
I'm officially calling it that, where, you know, these big shots coming from South America and coming and playing with these teams. Milan threw Pato right into it.
Yep.
And, you know, he couldn't, you know, he'd be out for 10 minutes and then he'd be injured for a month. God. Basically, for every 10 minutes he played, he'd be out for a month.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think clubs might have reacted to that, because you see the same thing with Gerson. Gerson got a spot start in the Europa League for Roma on Thursday. You know, we talked about him before in that vein, that it's, you know, be careful with these kids. Get them adapted to the culture. Get them adapted to the training regimen.
Right, exactly.
And then, you know, let's not get into a situation where we have to throw him into the wolves and then, you know, we're running into injury problems, because that was a significant investment for Milan, you know, to bring him in and to not get the return that they hoped. Right. Paco still did some decent things, scored some nice goals.
That Barcelona goal.
yeah. Never got to what was, you know, what was expected of him when they spent the money. You know, I'll touch on it. You know, Atalanta, I'm worried that this is the beginning of a little bit of a decline. You know, full credit to Udinese. You know, with the win there, like I said, I think Lazio probably the most important result of the weekend, you know, for any team on this run of games. So, you know, interesting indeed. It has created a gap once again with the old lady pulling away from everyone. And we're back looking at those, you know, 8 or 9 teams that are going to be fighting for the remaining Champions League and Europa League places, which should be pretty exciting. The relegation battle, you know, right now you're still looking at Empoli, you know, Empoli 17th on 11, Crotone on 9, Pescara on 8, and Palermo on 6. And, you know, I think you could probably put Cagliari in that conversation. They're 14th on 20 points, but they're really struggling. Bologna is 16th on 17 points, another team that's really having some problems. I think as this unfolds, I think there's going to be more teams in this relegation dogfight than the four that we're looking at right now when you look at 17th through 20th.
Yeah, I agree.
But right now it's the four, and you know, at some point there's going to be, I feel at least Cagliari and Bologna will be joining them at some point in the season. So moving on, there are 2 games on Monday. With all due respect to Fiorentina and Sassuolo, if you're a fan of either team, sorry, we're not going to talk about you, because Roma and Milan meet at the Olimpico, second against second or second against third, however you want to look at it. It's a matchup of 2 teams level on points. And for the winner, a faint hope of maybe catching Juventus at the top, and it is faint at best. The winner will be 4 points back after it is all said and done. The, you know, just some notes kind of getting into this game a little bit, starting with the Giallorossi. A lot of rotation from their team for the Europa League group match in their 0-0 draw with Astra. Aiden Dzeko will be back to build on his Capo Cannonieri campaign. The Rossoneri, however, they're going to be, they'll be foolish if they exert all of their effort in stopping only him. Rajan Nainggolan will be back, and he has been very impressive. They can call on Perotti. They can call on El Shaarawy. I believe Mohamed Salah shows up in the injury report and is not available. But the complement of defenders will be available for Roma, as will the likes of Daniele De Rossi, Kevin Strootman, and some of the other steel that they have in midfield. For Milan, it's a little clearer. Bacca and Bonaventura are not available. Montella did confirm that. Neither of them are available. They're both out through injury. Bonaventura just was not, they were just not ready to risk him. So we expect the Gianluca Lapadula experience to continue, and Sousa will be expected to provide an even bigger performance than what he's turned into to date. Some questions probably about the midfield as well. It looks like Juraj Kuchka might also miss out. So, some issues here for Montella heading into the Olympico. But nonetheless, there is a team strong enough that could put up a good 90-minute fight here. Richard, I'll bring you into this first. At least from the injury front, it's not a very optimistic outlook for the Rossoneri, is it?
No, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought Kuchka was going to miss this match because of accumulated yellows.
Or did I get that wrong? Okay, I'm sorry. You're right.
Okay, so yeah, that's going to be a big blow because he is a tank in that midfield. He hasn't played that great this year, but he does show up in the big games. And no one's going to forget that game against Inter last season, and then against Juventus, he was key, you know, for that in that win. What am I looking forward to this? You know, basically, Roma's going to have possession of the ball most of the game, and Milan's going to counter. It's just what Milan does. I want to see if from the Roma perspective, will the defense remain focused at all times, because, you know, with all that possession, it's easy to lose track of, you know, what's going on, your plan, your game plan, because Milan, they counter quickly. So how do they react to the counterattack? From Milan's perspective, it's all hands on deck defensively. You have to control, you know, keep everything to the outside, and then when it gets down to the middle, Locatelli and whoever's next to him, they're going to have to tackle the guys and not give away, you know, cheap free kicks near the goal, because that's not going to spell good for the outcome if they're giving up cheap free kicks, you know, in the game. So it'll be an interesting battle for sure.
This feels to me, shuddering to think about it, that this feels to me like this is going to be an Andrea Poli game. You know, he's an engine room guy, and he's going to give you a lot of energy in that midfield. He's going to be asked to, you know, whichever side of that midfield three that he plays on, he's going to be asked to, you know, support fullback on that side. You know, say if it's El Shaarawy, you know, dealing with El Shaarawy on one flank or Perotti on the other flank, or whatever combination of wingers Roma decide to throw into this game. You know, it feels like he's going to have a role here.
Pasalic's going to play. Pasalic, he's going to play well.
Someone by default, and Pasalic is going to play. Pasalic is going to play as well, and he'll be on the other side, you know, which, you know, is going to leave Locatelli to have to cover a lot of ground.
Yeah. Luckily, he's young. You know, he can cover it.
Well, yeah. And it's almost going to have to be essential, because with a threat like Aiden Dzeko, I don't think you can just, in those crossing situations, I don't think you can man mark him individually. And I think you've got to have, you know, one guy there and then one guy around him.
Yeah, Paletta, you know, Paletta and Romagnoli are going to have to be on top of their game to handle Dzeko, because he's fantastic this year.
He's been phenomenal in the air. He wins just about every aerial battle that he gets engaged in. I think that there's going to be some real challenges here for Milan. And just because I think that midfield isn't quite what Montella is going to want it to be, and they're going to have to depend on the counterattack. They're going to have to depend on Lapadula's industry and his ability to, you know, to run things down, his ability to chase down defenders and maybe put them in some uncomfortable situations. You know, so This is going to be a challenging one for Milan. If they can come away, if they can get anything out of this,
it'll be because of Niang and Tuzo. I think if Milan gets a result, it's because Niang and Tuzo are playing phenomenal.
Yes, exactly.
They have to distribute to Lapadula, give him the chance just to touch the ball, and then he'll score.
Yep, agreed. Brian, as far as Roma are concerned, the formula is pretty simple with how they go about doing things. You know, how concerned that in a game like this where you have to expect they're going to be possessing the ball so well, how concerned with their setup that they could get lulled to sleep and give up a cheap one here?
It's a tough one, really. I think Roma, I already gave my opinions. I do think Roma will probably win, but Milan do have a very decent forward line that could trouble Roma's defense. But the same could be said for Roma, really, because they have quite a good. Now, they don't quite have a front three like Milan do, but Checo scores goals. That's and if you he puts them away, yep. He puts them away, and he has experience of playing for bigger clubs as well. Well, maybe not bigger clubs, but like stronger teams. Because I don't agree. I'm not sure if I'd say Man City's a bigger club than Roma, but he's definitely played for stronger teams, and he has the experience there.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it's a tough one to call, but I'm gonna have to go with Roma here because Roma seem to be playing well in the big games. We just gotta see if they can take on Juve. That's the big question. Well, if they win here, then it'll be an even bigger question. But yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
I'm gonna be objective and I'm gonna take off the red and black glasses and say that Roma are gonna win this game. I'm having a hard time doing this and I'm actually shaking. My concerns are, and another concern I have is set pieces, you know, where Dzeko is even more dangerous. And then you get guys like Fazio and Manolas who can come forward. De Rossi, if he plays, he gets in on those crossing situations off of a dead ball. You know, there's enough damage that can be done, enough players that can do some damage, and you can't mark all of them.
No.
This is the one game that I think it finally gets a little too big for the youth of Milan.
Yeah.
You know, I think Donnarumma is going to be brilliant tomorrow, and he's going to have to be. But I'm going to give this I'm going to say Roma win 2-0, and it hurts me to give that prediction, and I want to be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope I'm going to be celebrating, and I hope I'm going to be going off on Twitter rants left and right. So. You know, I don't doubt Mauro Ceneri, but I think that this with the injuries, with some of the shuffling, with the shorthandedness in midfield, I think this is going to be a tough knock for Milan to climb.
You know what? Tomorrow definitely is a reason, and I'm going to steal Mo Carazzi's his line here. Tomorrow is a day that you call out because you have to see Dr. Ibrahimovic around 12 about lunchtime. You know, just take off work for the rest of the day.
Yep. Absolutely, and I'm sure Mo is going to take some delight in getting his name dropped on our podcast. So, Richard, are we unanimous here, or are you going to be the eternal optimist for the Rossoneri going to the Eternal City?
I'm going to be an optimist here. I'm thinking draw, but in my faint of hearts, think Milan pull off a win. But I'm thinking draw. Realistic mind, I think a draw.
My head says 2-0 to Roma. My heart says 2-1 to Milan. Can I do that?
There you go.
So that's where we're at on Roma Milan. Exciting game. Can Roma continue this great run and really prove once and for all that they should be taken seriously? Are the young upstarts of Milan, can they come into a very, very difficult environment and come away with a result? And further validate the coaching performance of Vincenzo Montella. Going to be a very, very interesting game on Prospect on Monday evening. So we're going to transition a little, and we're going to go from that. And we do have a round of sticker trick. We do have two topics, and the first topic is Sino Europe Sports. You know, the drama just continues. You know, and maybe it's almost no one's surprise. The sale of AC Milan is being delayed now until early March 2017. And as part of this postponement, Sino-Europe Sports is to send another 100 million euros to Fininvest, Silvio Berlusconi's company, by December 12th, which as of this recording is tomorrow. Long story short, this is just a good faith payment by the Chinese or whoever Sino-Europe Sports. We don't even know who these people are, to say, hey, we're still buying this team. We still want to go through with the sale. We can't get all of the funds right now. We can get them in March. Here's another 100 million in the meantime. You know, take care of some debts, go get a player or two. You know, it's just like it's the boss that you were supposed to have. It's the boss that you were supposed to have dinner with, Richard. And he all of a sudden can't make it the last minute, but he has a corporate tab at the most expensive steakhouse in town.
Yeah.
And says, get whatever you want on the menu. I'm sorry, I can't be there.
That's right. So,
you know, it's kind of akin to that. That never happens to any of us, but you know, Milan fans are growing more and more impatient with this potential transaction, and there are concerns growing over whether there really is a Sino-Europe Sports, and maybe just Berlusconi has hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars sitting in China that he just can't get out. But after all, we don't know the identity of this group except that they're from China, and that's all we know. So stick or trick, this latest postponement, this time we mean it. We're going to buy it in March. You know, the new owners will finally take over. Richard, stick or trick?
This is a trick because we're dealing with Silvio Berlusconi.
Of course it is.
it's Italian drama. Adam Digby put it great, put it perfectly. You know, until you see a Chinese owner in the box, in the president's seat, you're not to believe it. Something inside of me is telling me that Berlusconi is just like, he has like fantastic lawyers and he's going to keep taking money from these guys and eventually be like, nah, I'm not selling. I'm keeping the team. I see this playing out in my head. So yeah, it's definitely a trick for me. I think it's going to be delayed more or just going to disperse. I don't know.
Brian, what do you think?
I wish I knew more about this topic, so I'm going to have to echo Richard, who knows more about me than this. So yeah, apologies to the fans. I wish I could say something about this, but I really can't.
Yeah, I this is a trick. we're going to be cynics about this until it actually happens and until there's actually a president. I'm still the eternal optimist. I know I had a chat with some of the listeners on Twitter. One of the things I will point out about this is that at least this is being done carefully,
yeah.
You know, and that money is just not being thrown at the team and guys are just coming in and they're in, you know, they're in over their head and they go nuts, you know, similar to an Inter situation, which, you know, Inter, hopefully for their case, are starting to solve some of their problems. They went through a little bit of a mess with takeovers and such, and things went expedited and, you know, just things didn't go as smoothly as you would want to see from a transition of ownership. You know, so the one thing that AC Milan has going for it is, at least this is being done carefully. So, you know, so trick all around. The other topic we want to talk in sticker trick, we did allude to the Champions League a little bit earlier. So we will talk about Juventus and Napoli. Great Champions League group stage if you're a Serie A fan, as the old lady and the Partenope went on to win their groups, potentially avoiding the big guns who won their groups. Well, sort of. Bayern Munich and Real Madrid were group runners up. So they're going to be on the other side of the draw. Manchester City for that matter as well. And those are teams that both Juventus and Napoli have the potential to square off against in the first knockout round. When you reach the last 16 of this competition, anyone is really dangerous. By the time you all listen to this podcast, you'll know who each of the Italian teams will get. So we will just look at the possible teams that each team can play. And ask the question, stick or trick, Juventus and Napoli will reach the last eight of this competition. Brian.
I'll start with Juve. I already mentioned a lot of the points earlier in this pod. Juventus will more than likely go to the last eight. I'm pretty confident of that. I'm not sure, like, if they get Real Madrid, they have a real tricky tie on their hands considering their form. I think they haven't lost since, like, February or something ridiculous like that. But I think if Juventus get Real Madrid, then it's going to be tricky for them. I still think they could win, but it's definitely the hardest draw there is for Juventus. And Napoli, for that matter. But that's Napoli, is a different story. Napoli, if they get Bayern Munich or Real Madrid, they're out. They're out. I'll say that much. But if Napoli get Porto, Leverkusen, or even Paris Saint-Germain, I'll go as far as saying that because they've not been too impressive this season. But I think those are the three winnable opponents. I might have been missing another first place or second place team. Those are the ones that spring to mind. I kind of want to avoid Sevilla, to be honest. Sevilla, I really rate Sampaoli as a manager personally.
Sevilla and are an excellent squad. Everyone should be fearful of them.
Yeah, they're a tough out.
I have personally, as an unpopular opinion, I take PSG over Sevilla. PSG even struggled to beat Nice today. They were winning 2-0, and they tied it. PSG tied it up, and they were at home. So, and they barely drew Ludogorets. So I'm not too scared of PSG. If we get PSG, then I'm hoping they're continuing their poor form by this time, February. But as I was saying, Napoli, if they get those three teams, I still think they have to be in form in order to win. Maybe not so much of Leverkusen. It's hard to say, actually, because Leverkusen and Porto, it's hard to compare them. I'm not sure who will be the better team. I do feel like this is a weaker Porto side through the last few seasons, but I don't know. There's something about the lower German sides that just doesn't impress me very much. But anyways, I do still think Napoli has to be in form in order to win against anyone. Because, like I said, they can't grind out results as well as a team like Juve can, so it's going to be tough for them. Napoli's a whole different story. I'm going to go with Trick, because I do think Juventus will go through. And as much as I love to see Napoli in the last eight, I see it tough, because the inconsistency is there. I really think we can reach the last eight, but it's definitely a possibility, but I think we're going to stay out of this. I think Juventus are going to be the one that's going to go through.
How about you, Richard?
Oh, man, I for sure thought he was going to say stick there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Trick as well. I definitely think Juve can beat anyone they come up against in the round of 16. You know, it's going to be hard against, you know, teams like Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man City, and Bayern München. But, yeah, I think they will progress, and I think they'll progress deep. Napoli, I think they'll be bowing out. Unless they're in fantastic form and they get the luck of the draw and get a weak PSG or Leverkusen, Benfica, Porto, one of those kind of teams.
Can't draw Benfica.
They can't draw Benfica? Well, no, that's good for them then.
Yeah.
That's right, because they're in the same group. Duh, I knew that. They have to be on top form and get the luck of the draw and get a weaker team. But I don't see it happening. Sorry, Brian.
Well, I'm going to be
apologizing. I'm the one who said that you pretty much echoed all my points. So
you gave him a chance. I don't give him a chance.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be the optimist here. I think they're both making the last eight. I'm saying stick. I'm going for it right
now. Wow, look at that.
So I'm going for it. Here's I'm going to give you some reasons why. Juventus right now are winning games with Daniele Rugani playing at center back. We talked about him last week. He's an up and coming star, great player. They're going to get Andrea Barzagli back. They're going to get Leonardo Bonucci back. They're getting Dybala back. If they can keep this thing together and be healthy, they are deep enough to navigate and keep that comfortable lead that they're in and also manage their way through the Champions League. I said this at the very, very first podcast. This is a team that's set up to win Scudetto and get back to that Champions League final.
Yep.
Okay, so I've got to stick to my guns there, and I think that they – we'll get everybody back. You got to remember that these games don't happen for another couple of months. So,
but Napoli, I want to hear about Napoli now.
For the same reason why I think Napoli is going to be a tough out. Okay, I'm kind of pining on the hope that they draw a team that, you know, like a Porto or a Leverkusen, and it goes along with my mock draw. But yeah, and that's no disrespect to Leverkusen or to Porto fans. But Arkadiusz Milik comes back. Okay. The team is defending better. We were very critical of them here a few weeks ago. You know, they're starting to play a little bit more loose. They're starting to find some form. And if they can get Milik back, get his legs under him, there's enough depth and there's enough pieces. This team is deep enough, and they were built to manage playing in both competitions as well. So Napoli shouldn't have to fear anybody that they end up drawing to, you know, of course, if it is Real Madrid then we're going to have a problem. But, you know, as of this recording, which we don't know the draw, I'm going to be the eternal optimist and say that both of these teams are going to make the last eight. I'll be the one that does it. I'm probably going to be wrong. One of these teams are going to blow up, but Juventus shouldn't fear anybody that they could potentially draw in that draw on Monday morning. Napoli for me, maybe a little bit of a different story, but they might luck out with a favorable draw. But they're going to have Milik back. They're improving in some areas where they looked deficient at the beginning of the season. So I'm on board with Napoli, and I like their chances to get through to the last eight. So I'm going to fly that green, white, and red if you guys aren't. So you know, what do you guys think on Serie A sit down? At Serie A sit down on Twitter, jump in, give your take on each of these. Obviously, the draw will reveal all, and we'll see if we want to rethink our answers, particularly me, if Napoli draws Real Madrid. So, but anyway, to finish off what we're going to do with Christmas just a couple weeks away, we thought we would take a look at each team in Serie A and ask the question, if you had one wish granted this holiday season, what would it be? Each panelist will get to speak on their own team, and what we'll do is we'll just kind of rotate the rest. And with Richard and I both being Milanisti, I'm going to do him a favor and give him Milan. I'll speak for Juventus. So we'll start with Juventus. My Christmas wish list for them, get everybody back, just like I said, get everybody back healthy to make a Champions League final run. Richard, how about Udinese?
Ooh, Udinese. Okay, I like the project Del Neri is going on right now. I like their forwards and I like their midfield. So my wish list, if I were an Udinese fan, or I put on Sonia's boots right now, I want a defender, a good defender, because you need someone who's gonna. They leak too many goals. They didn't do it this weekend, but they have in the past. So they need a defender that can shore up that defense, let the midfield and attack get them goals.
Okay. I'm with you on that, Brian. What's your wish for Napoli?
If you look at the realistic circumstances, then I'm happy with the squad. But there's one thing we need. A backup striker, and we need it desperately. Because, Mertens is starting to perform as the 9, but I'm still not entirely convinced with him there yet. I gotta see a few more performances with him before I'm convinced. And plus, I still think he's better out wide. So I do think a decent backup striker would be enough for me. Because I'm not, the backup fullbacks are kind of lackluster as well, but I think the most important thing is the lack of a backup striker, because if Mertens is starting to play off form, then the goals disappear again. So I think that's one big issue that needs to be addressed, and that's definitely the wish list for me.
Leonardo Padovaletti is a hot name as far as that is concerned. Not getting any playing time whatsoever at Genoa. Those rumors were a little hot a few weeks ago. They've kind of cooled off since, but you never know. Richard, Milan, what's the wish for them?
If I were a Milan fan, I am. My wish list, I wish I had many wishes, but either a strong central defender to accompany Romagnoli or a strong central midfielder. But what I'm going to say is no Cesc Fabregas. Please stay away from Milan. That's my wish.
And my Milan wish list is, for the love of God, sort out this ownership deal already.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I will do Roma. And my wish for Roma is for certain podcasters who think they know something about the game to actually take Roma seriously as a good team.
I'm not included.
It's just me. My wish for Roma is for not only Aiden Dzeko to win the Capo Cannonieri, but a second reliable goal scorer that can put up some run. Obviously, there's plenty of players that are capable of doing it, but having that secondary source that you can be looking to consistently for goals. So that's where I'll go to for Roma. For Lazio, I'll take that one as well. My wish list for them, they got a lot of good things going for them. Win a derby at home. That'll be the wish list for Lazio. So, Richard, Atalanta, what's if you're an Atalanta supporter, what would you be wishing for them?
I would wish for Christmas to get here quicker.
Yeah, two-game slump, disappointing.
They're reeling right now, so they need that break. They need to regroup because it's not looking too good right now.
Yeah, yeah. Brian, Torino, if you were a Torino supporter, what would you wish for?
To not lose the derby at last minute. No, but in all seriousness, I do think the Torino backline's a bit lackluster. So I think a better defense would be a nice little Christmas present.
And for Andrea Belotti to do for Torino what Antonio Di Natale did for Udinese.
Also for Belotti to score while I'm watching. Another thing. What was I gonna say? I do feel like Torino's lost a lot of the back line once Leek left, because I really rated Leek. I thought he was a good defender for Torino.
Let's see. I got Fiorentina. My wish for Fiorentina, a reliable and consistent goal scorer that can compete for Capocannonieri. You know they've got great midfielders. We know they can keep the ball. But somebody that can put the ball in the back of the net for them with some regularity. Richard, the Flying Donkeys.
I hope that Pelissier finds his fountain of youth and plays another 10 more years because they have no one else who can score. But in all seriousness, I hope my wish list is that Chievo gets their act together so they can remain in Serie A next season.
Absolutely. That would be that'd be nice to see. They got off to a nice start. They've kind of tapered off a little bit. Brian, Inter. This should be good.
I have to have patience with the manager for once.
That's a good one. Let's all go after this one. Richard, would that be your wish for Inter?
Yeah, I agree. I think Pio is the right man, so just give him some patience.
Yep, absolutely. Stop with this Diego Simeone nonsense. Stop having that cloud.
I still would want Diego Simeone. I just want to keep Pioli until then.
have him keep the seat warm and Mauro Icardi not be so much of a douche. Brian, Sampdoria.
I've seen a bit of them this season, but I haven't analyzed them enough. If I had to say something, maybe. Hold up. Yeah, win at Genoa in the second half of the season.
How about overall? And overall, just live up to your potential. A lot of quality young players in that team. So, and I've got the other team in that city, Genoa, and it's real simple. Have an away form that matches your home form. Brian, back to you on Cagliari.
To go back to the form they were in at the start of the season.
And Richard, you got a couple here. Let's start with Sassuolo.
Sassuolo, hope that Berardi comes back quick and never gets injured again.
And how about Richard? Same thing for Bologna.
I hope the players listen to their coach because he knows what he's talking about. He's a good Roberto Donadoni is a good coach. Listen to him, and he'll keep you from getting relegated.
Okay, I've got Palermo win a game against anybody. or have a pulse. That could be that. Start there.
Have defenders play?
Yeah. Brian, how about Pescara?
To bring back Lapadula.
No chance. Richard, Crotone.
Find the form, find that magic that got you promoted. They have some decent results, but they just, you know, falter at the end of the games. They need to get that full 90 minutes in and, you know, start getting these wins back to back, these, you know, points back to back. Get out of that relegation zone.
Absolutely. And last and certainly least, Ryan, Empoli.
To stop having to watch the game with a pillow and a blanket.
Nice.
That's a good one. Or have a goal scorer, any goal scorer. Have Alberto Gilardino recapture the form of, no, not that year. Somebody other than Alberto Gilardino being dependent on to score goals. How about that?
How about Saponara, you know, trying to keep him because he's going to be a hot commodity.
He's gone.
I know.
Why would you want to stay in that train wreck?
Yes.
But anyway, unless the local cuisine is really good. What would, if you're okay, if this was, if your favorite team, obviously we mentioned all of them on Syria, in the Syria, go to Syria, sit down on Twitter and give us what you think your wish would be for your team, your Christmas wish, the one thing that you would want to see granted coming up in 2017. So that will put a bow on this edition of Syria Sit Down. Quick run through to find out where everyone is on Twitter. Richard, where are you?
You can find me at r_Karman. That's KHARMAN.
Excellent. And Brian, where are we finding you on Twitter?
Just Brian Birdie.
Okay. And you can find me at FTC_21. Sonia Misio could not join us tonight. You can find her at Sonia Misio. Also listen for her podcast, Unusual Efforts, as well. Great listen there. I do want to thank the rest of our cultural consultants for their input. We really hope you enjoyed this podcast. We look forward to bringing you all the happenings of Match Week 17 coming up in our next pod. We will put a bow on the first half of the Serie A season as far as the calendar is concerned. Give you an updated squadra finora. We'll have a few changes and some other musings as well. For the panel, I want to thank you for listening, and be sure to tell your paisans about us. Ciao.